Everybody doing all right this morning? Good, good. I want you to know I'm excited. I'm excited about this. We're excited about being back. You've welcomed us back. You've blessed us beyond what we deserve. And it has come down to the time. It's very difficult when somebody comes and works with a congregation. One of the most difficult things that anybody has to do when you come to a new congregation is finding your pew. So we are now handing out applications. If anybody's accepting applications, we're handing those out right now. No, we are extremely blessed to be with you all. This morning, as has been advertised, has been talked about, we're gonna talk about details on Wednesday nights. Can we do that? Was that fair? All right, we don't have enough time in just this morning to lay out all the details. So we're gonna talk about the major concepts, what has to be in place for there to be. For family youth ministry, what has to be in place for family youth ministry at Palm Beach Lakes? We're going to talk about three major concepts, but when we talk about that, y'all are thinking, what is this? You have questions probably. Yes? What is this? Okay? This may be where you are right now. Okay? Some of you are thinking, I know what that kid looks familiar. And this may be where you are right now. Okay? At the end of this, this is where I want you to be. Okay? Can we do that? Three major concepts, three important concepts that have to be in place in order for this to work. And I'm excited because, spoiler alert, we have them. Okay? When the elders said, this is where we want to go, this is the direction we want to go, my wheels started spinning. It's like, that is awesome! Because we have those at Palm Beach Lakes. We have those. And you're thinking, what is he talking about? All right, we're going to get into it. What do we need to have? First, three biblical concepts. The church is a family of God. Do we have that at Palm Beach Lakes? Do you know on Wednesday nights we have a family prayer? And Dan reads those cards, and sometimes it's difficult to read those cards. I had to read the cards the other Wednesday night, and it's difficult, Dan. It is not easy to read those cards. But it is amazing that we get to pray for each other. Family prayer. We have a family room. Did you know that? A family room. Family, look at this passage. I got to flip my notes here because I'm getting ahead of myself. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But in case I'm delayed, Paul writing to Timothy, but in case I'm delayed, I write so that you will know how to one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. So the Bible says the church is the family of God. Household is family, family is household. Bereans, look it up. It's in the Greek. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all the people, especially those who are the household of faith. So we have a responsibility to one another. In your family, do you have responsibilities to one another? Yes, parents have responsibilities to children. Children have responsibility to their parents. It's the same in the church or the household of God. We have a responsibility to one another. We're going to talk about that more in detail on Wednesdays, but remember I told you that. Ephesians 2. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. You have a place. How many of you have ever been a stranger or an alien in a place? Guys, alien, we're not talking extraterrestrial, okay? We're talking like not from a place, okay? So if you're not from somewhere and you go to this place, are there customs and things you have to learn? Yes, there are. Even in the States. Right? Even in the state, I can tell you story after story about going to another culture and the things you, the mess ups you do. when you go to a new culture, but even the States, if you go to Texas, that is another culture from here, right? That's a completely different foreign place. And if you go to Oregon, right, Phil? That is another culture altogether. Altogether. But when you come to the family of God, yes, it's different than the world. But you have a place here. Ever thought about that? It is different than the world. It should be, right? I don't like going to church. They're all different. We're supposed to be different, right? We're supposed to be different. You have a place here. And the concept I want you to understand is when we talk about family, we are not talking about mom, dad, 2.4 children, and a white picket fence. Is that common anymore? And it's not the most common situation, right? That's not what I'm talking about. When we talk about family, youth, does it have an element of working with the family? Yes. Are we working with youth? Youth, yes. But we as a family of God are supplying what's needed, making sure nobody feels like a stranger, and we're working together. We're going to get there in just a minute. But think about this. You have people coming into the church who don't have a lineage, can't say, well, I was raised in the church. Raised in the church. You know what I'm talking about? My family. And that is a huge blessing. That is a huge blessing. I do not want at all to belittle that, because we're working towards that. But what I want is to understand, are there a lot of people who have come to this congregation who have never had that? Never had that. And so their first family is here, is us. We're going to work on that. Look at Matthew chapter 12. What did Jesus say about this? But Jesus answered to the one who was telling him and said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Behold my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and a sister and mother." Look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 29. "And everyone who has left houses and brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms," in the New American Standard, "for my name's sake will receive many times as much." Are there people who have left their families because when they chose to serve God, they could no longer be a part of their family because their family pushed them out? Yes, it happens. And what does the Bible say? You're going to receive many more times that and salvation. You are the many more times that. You are the many more times that. For people who are leaving their families because they chose to serve God more than man. And it happened so many times in South America because Catholic, whatever. We don't have to go into that, but you understand the concept. Sometimes religion is a tradition. It's not a practice. And so if you choose to do something else, you're saying, you're getting pushed out of the family. It happened to them, to the Jews in that time. They would literally have funerals for people. I'm using the word literally again. We talked about that Wednesday, didn't we? Okay, they had funerals for these people, saying, "You are dead. You no longer have an inheritance with this family. We no longer know who you are." But what does the Bible say? "You'll receive many more times that." We have an inheritance in heaven. We have a family on earth that loves us, accepts us, and we can talk the same way and walk the same way and labor together the same way. Look in John 19. "When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved," John, "standing nearby." This is Jesus on the cross. Is family important? Here is a man hanging on the cross. Not a comfortable position. Hanging on the cross, and he sees John, and he says, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to his disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. Is family important? Yes. Taking care of our family is important, and we need to have the same attitude in us, that we take care of our family this way. So we are a family. We need to understand that the church labors together. We work together. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. This is just after this passage talking about the blessings we have because Christ died for us. We have victory over death, and our labor is not in vain. We work. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Fellow workers working with God. How amazing is that? Philippians chapter 1. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear that you of you that are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign for them, to them for their destruction, but for your salvation, and that from God. Side by side without fear. Side by side for the faith of the gospel. We can go into a lot about analogies about the Roman soldiers and the Greeks and how they would fight side by side, and it was important who was beside you. Side by side. I want to look at another example here. In Nehemiah, we're going to go Old Testament now. Nehemiah 4. Some of you remember the story about Nehemiah. What did Nehemiah do? When they went back and he helped rebuild the walls, right? He helped rebuild the walls. This is an awesome book, one of my favorite books in the Old Testament, because if you read this through the concept of working in the church and in a local congregation, local work, this is exactly how we need to do it. Prayer sums up Nehemiah. Confidence in God sums up Nehemiah, and importance for Scripture sums up Nehemiah. Take an hour and read this book. But we're going to go through just cliff notes real quickly. Chapter 4, verse 6, so we built the wall. So we built the wall. This phrase comes after opposition. There are these two guys, Sanballat and Tobiah, not really popular names. Sanballat and Tobiah were oppositions of the wall because they didn't want them building the wall because it wouldn't be fun to pester this town anymore if they built walls, in a nutshell. Opposition. And what does Nehemiah say? So we built the wall. There's several ways you can read that. So we built the wall. So we built the wall. We, operative word. And all the wall was joined together half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Here's a key. For the people had the mind to work. Now, we're not talking about a picket fence. We're not talking about just a single stone width wall. We're talking about a wall that some archaeologists have said is up to 4.5 miles long and 16.5 feet wide. That wall. So we built a wall up to half its height. And then what happens? More opposition. Sanballat and Tobiah come back. And they said, well, you know, a fox could jump over this wall. Verse 14, and I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and the rest of the peoples, do not be afraid of them. Remember we talked about in Philippians, no fear. No fear of opposition. Where there'll be opposition for our works? Yes. Have there always been oppositions to those who are doing good and doing the will of God? Yes. Nothing new. What does he say here? Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who was great and awesome. Has that ever changed? Old or New Testament, has that ever changed? No. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. What is our purpose? Why are we laboring together? Because God is great and awesome, and we are fighting for what is ours. We're going to draw a line in the sand. We're going to draw a circle around our youth and say, no, you can't have them. Guys, this is for you. We love you, and we are taking up this challenge of training you and preparing you to stand on the wall. Does that make sense? You're doing it now. You're fighting battles that these guys don't understand right now. You're fighting battles in your schools, with your friends, that they don't necessarily understand. It's sometimes difficult for us to grasp what you're going through right now. So we're training you, and we want to train you for that. Will you trust us to do that? To be involved in your lives, to help you stand up? Will you trust this family to say and stand around you and say, we don't want you to go back to the world. We want to help you make a choice. In the end, guys, it's your choice, right? In the end, it's your choice. God gave that to every one of us. But we're going to help you make that choice and educate you on that and help you as much as we can. But this congregation is going to labor together, stand around our youth, bolster up our families, and say, you can't have them, Satan. You can't have them, world, because who are we fighting for? We're fighting for our families. We're fighting for our youth. We're fighting for each other. Did you know when they started building the wall? If you look in Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. So the wall was finished. So we built the wall. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul. Not in my calendar that month. But what that means is they built this wall in 52 days. 16 and a half feet wide, 4.5 miles long, 52 days. They had a mind to work. They were working with spear in one hand because of the opposition. We finished the wall in 52 days. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of God. And it will be the same here. It is not us to glory in this. We're not glorying in Palm Beach Lakes. We're glorying in the work of God. Everything we do is for the furtherance of the cause of Christ. Amen. Everything we do is to glorify God. But what we're saying this morning is this is where we're taking our stand. This is where we're drawing the line. And we're going to work together. The church helps prepare youth. And this is what I want to look at here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. I don't want us to misunderstand what's happening here. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Children love that verse, right? Father, you're provoking me. Bereans, you might want to work up that word, right? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Who has the first responsibility for the raising of children? Moms are saying fathers. Yes. But what about when there are not fathers? What about when there are not mother and father? Do you know we have, it's been come to known as spiritual orphans in the church? Which means my father and my mother aren't helping me to be who I need to be in Christ. A spiritual orphan. Can this family help? Yes. We're going to talk about details how you can be involved in people's lives on Wednesdays. Please be here on Wednesdays. But you know, you can just say, I care. Simply. I care. I notice you. Can I help you? Or can I find somebody that you can help you? It's that simple. And we'll talk about more of that on Wednesdays. But look at Deuteronomy. This has always been the truth. God has always looked at parents to train up children. And these words that I command to you this day shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, When you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. If this describes your family, will your children escape the message of the gospel? Will your children escape instruction from God? Now, I know that children aren't always tuned in and always want to hear about, well, the Bible says, you know. Sometimes they're just like, I don't want to hear that again. When I was a kid, not too long ago, some of you are thinking, my mom and dad did spankings. In Texas, it's called whoopings. It's that culture thing again. And I was sort of the why. I was the one in the family that said, why? You know? Because the Bible says so. And I'd read the verse, and I'd say, all right, and I'd bend over, you know. That happened once. I wasn't. Normally, when mom said, go to your room, your dad's coming home, it was usually screaming and gnashing of teeth, right? So. But if that's the concept in the home, because the Bible says so, what does that do for parents? Well, parents, you're just being mean. You're not letting me do this. No. No. We made a decision as a family. God said no. I love working with the congregation as elders. Where's he going with this, right? In a congregation without elders, the men get together and we try to make decisions as best we can. And elders deal with decisions that are rough. Let me tell you, they're rough sometimes. But it's also nice having elders is that, well, the elders said no. Right? Joe is getting it now. The elders said no. I'm sorry, the elders said no. They are good men. They have shoulders, they bear burdens you cannot understand. Sorry. Pause. But they love you, guys. They love you. And what they're saying is, we're going to do our best to make sure that everybody has Bible in the home, that everybody has a chance to know what it is to grow up in the church. We're going to have to go faster than this because we got a lot to cover. But I want you to see how this comes back on itself. Look at Titus chapter 2. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Whew. Steadfastness. Gorman, we're working on you, man. Is Gorman here? There he is. We're working on you, brother. We're working on you. Older women likewise, Gorman can take that because he dishes out just as much, okay. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. And I don't want to focus on all that's there, and I'm not focusing on what women should learn. I'm not focusing on these things. What I'm focusing on is when the church is doing what it's supposed to do, what have we come back to? The concept of family. We've come back to the concept of family. Look in 1 Timothy. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. So when we're helping to prepare youth, when we're helping to work with one another, we come back naturally to the concept of family. A healthy concept. If you look up sound, we use the word sound doctrine a lot, right? Sound doctrine. Do you know what that word means? Healthy. Now, we understand what to be healthy is and what not to be healthy is, right? A healthy congregation is one that has this concept of family. Because we care for one another. We work together. So what do we need to do? Three concepts. How does this work at Palm Beach Lakes? And we're almost down here, guys. Some of you are getting kind of restless. Palm Beach Lakes vision statement. Did you know we had this? It's been printed. But did you know we had this? Some of you are going, no, I didn't. Look at what this says. To be faithful, to be the faithful church that Jesus established by actively taking the gospel to lost souls, the cause of Christ. Actively building each other up. Actively participating in personal spiritual growth. Actively serving the spiritual and physical needs of this congregation and the community according to the scriptures. Does that sound anything like what we've been talking about? A little bit. Family Youth Ministry Vision Statement at Palm Beach Lakes. And here's a sub-vision statement, if you will. At Palm Beach Lakes, the family of God is actively involved in the faith building of the youth. That's what it's for. The faith building of the youth. Actively involved in your faith process. The strengthening of the family unit, because it's their responsibility. And we're going to help them. And we're going to stand around them, family, aren't we? Amen. And the edification of the body. Because when we're doing these things, it's reciprocal. Isn't that nice? That is nice. I'm just going to say it is nice. When we all are doing what we're supposed to doing, if we're all loving one another, if we're all respecting one another, if we're all doing everything for each other, if we esteem others better than ourselves, what happens? There's love and esteem and trust and faith going everywhere in here, right? Is it going to come at you? Yes. Because it's what we do. It's who we are. It becomes our identity when we do these things. So three biblical concepts. The church is a family of God. We have that here. The church labors together with God. We have that here. We've heard that before, right? The church helps prepare youth. Helps prepare youth. The primary resource, the primary emphasis is on family, but we're going to stand around families and help them do that. I'm going to finish with one question for you this morning. Are you in the family of God? Have you heard the gospel? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, John 3:16? Will you repent of your sins? Will you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Will you be baptized? And will you live faithfully? Are you in the family of God? If you are not in the family of God, you do not have these benefits, these blessings of understanding these concepts that we're talking about. And this morning, you can be baptized into the family of God. What we must understand this morning, these three concepts, I'm excited because we have them already. Can we expound upon them? Yes. Can we hone them into something that is just natural, that we just do? Yes. And we're going to talk about that on Wednesday. There's a plug there. On Wednesday. But if you're not in Christ, if you have not put on Christ in baptism, you stand outside that circle. God waits with arms wide open. He's done everything He can. This morning we have an opportunity for you to come forward and say, yes, I want to be baptized into the family. We have an opportunity for you to come forward and say, I need prayers of my family. But is this the only time? No. This is just a time where we think maybe you might be encouraged to make that decision and let everybody know. So we're about to sing a song. And that song is a song that we call a song of encouragement. If you need encouraged, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.